This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour open-line talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. To express your viewpoint, please call 804-754-1988. That's 804-754-1988. And now, with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Messianic fervor and fervor are not receding around the world, but rather rising worldwide as clouds of global destruction hang ominously over the peoples and nations of the planet, including Israel. But how would one bring about the view that you might be savior of the world? Would it not involve some effort at peace? Being called almost the Prince of Peace? And would that be linked to dramatic, newfound prosperity? Today on Viewpoint, we're going to be discussing something that, well, it might be difficult to hear. But we're going to talk about it here on Viewpoint today as we look at what's happening all over the world, but particularly in the Middle East. So I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Crismeyer. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transcends and transforms. And I received an email today from one of our listeners with this headline, Israel stunned. Israel stunned as Trump signs huge deal with Qatar, or Qatar, however you want to pronounce it. The president visited the largest American military facility in the region in his recent trip, thanked the Qataris for a $400 million gift of a luxury Boeing 747-8 jumbo jet that will reportedly be retrofitted for about $1 billion for its use before being transferred to the presidential library. The airplane deal was signed off by Attorney General Pam Bondi. She used to work at a Washington, D.C. lobbying firm that received $115,000 a month from Qatar to fight human trafficking. President Trump's chief of staff, Susie Wiles, led lobbying firm Mercury Public Affairs when it represented Qatar's embassy in Washington. FBI Director Kash Patel worked as a consultant for Qatar. And then there was Steve Witkoff, President Trump's longtime friend and senior advisor. His name has been floated as a future national security advisor, and Witkoff happened to be a beneficiary of Qatar's largesse. In 2023, Qatar's sovereign wealth fund bought out his faltering investment in New York's Park's Lane Hotel for $623 million. In the meantime, the Trump Organization is hard at work planning a new luxury golf resort near Qatar's capital in Doha. But Qatar also has a seat of the Muslim Brotherhood, a crucial source of financing to Hamas, a diplomatic and an energy partner of Iran, a refuge for Taliban's exiled political leadership, financier and cheerleader of Palestinian terrorism, and the chief propagandist of Islamism through its media powerhouse Al Jazeera, which reaches 430 million people in more than 150 countries. Key members of Qatar's royal family have made their admiration for Islamism and Hamas specifically very clear. The mother of Qatar's emir and the chairperson of an educational nonprofit funneling millions into American schools praised the mastermind of the October 7, 2023 massacre, Mr. Sinwar. And the question then is, how did a refuge of Islamism and radicalism, a country criticized for modern-day slave labor, became the center of global politics and commerce? How did this tiny peninsular country of 300,000 citizens and millions of non-citizen migrant workers manage to put itself smack dab in the center of global diplomacy and so successfully ingratiate itself within the Trump administration? Fascinating questions, fascinating information you're not likely to hear generally in the news. So why is Israel stunned? Well, one of the reasons Israel is stunned is because Qatar has not shown itself a friend to Israel. Quite the opposite. supporting every faction that was contrary to Israel's best interests. So should we beware of Qataris bearing jets, $400 million jet, modernized flying palace, complete with all the fixings? Well, my reading of the scripture says a gift perverts judgment. A gift perverts judgment. Well, whether it's a gift supposedly to the government or to the president himself, does a gift pervert judgment? It bothers me. Does it bother you? It should concern you whether or not you're a supporter of Donald Trump. It should concern you. But there's a bigger picture that's going on here, a much bigger picture. And that's the picture we want to take a look at here today. It's like stepping on eggshells in a way, because so many people, when they hear certain aspects about this, somehow disconnect what we're really trying to say with their allegiance to a political agenda or a particular person, i.e. the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, whom I voted for and believe is doing a lot of very, very good things that were much needful with a kind of almost holy boldness. On the other hand, what is he doing in the Middle East? Why is he doing it? We can cheer, wow, look at what's happening. Look at how quickly, just in a matter of 2 or 3 days, look what's happening. Who would have ever thunk it, so to speak? That is, who would have ever believed it? But it is happening. But why is it happening? What is the bigger picture that's involved here? So often it's very easy to get enraptured by the little stuff going on. It may not seem little, it seems big, but there's a bigger picture. The picture that's defined by why. Why are these things happening? What is the goal and what are the implications of that goal? We want to take a little more refined look at that here on Viewpoint today. Remember, viewpoint does determine destiny. Our viewpoint does determine destiny. By the way, as you know, a couple of books ago, I wrote a book called Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. Many of you have acquired that book and read it. And certainly it unfolds a vast array, not only of information, but of connecting the dots to help us to see the bigger picture of how the Antichrist and the Antichrist spirit works. Now, I want to direct your attention for just a moment to a biblical prophecy back in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. This is a much, much quoted prophecy, and we normally hear it read at Christmas time, and we can see why, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's describing the Christ, the coming of Christ. But what of his counterfeit? That's what we need to talk about here today on Viewpoint. Stay tuned.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
The Savior, Messiah's name would be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there would be no end upon the throne of David to order it, to establish it with judgment and justice from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it, Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. Well, two times in those two verses refers to the Prince of Peace. Jesus was referred to as the coming Prince of Peace. You'll recall when the angels appeared to the shepherds out there outside Bethlehem, and they said, talked about goodwill toward men, talking about how Jesus would become an engine, an agent of peace and goodwill toward all men. Peace. Who doesn't love peace? Well, those who disagree with your view of peace don't love your view of peace. So what is peace anyway? Is it peace at all costs? Is it peace on certain terms? And how about God's terms of peace? Would God's terms of peace require that there be a holy and righteous treatment of the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, referred to by God as the children of Israel, whom God called the apple of his eye? Would that be part of the definition of peace? Would part of the definition of peace mean that it would choreograph the nations of the world in goodwill toward all men? Well, it would be nice if that were true, but we know from the Bible that that's not going to be true. On the other hand, there is a messenger who comes to bring that goodwill. His name was Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. But he even came unto his own, and his own didn't receive his message of peace. In fact, they crucified him for it. They didn't like his message of peace because it interfered with their power, perks, and position, right? Even Pontius Pilate saw that, and he was not an agent of peace. He was a crusty Roman general or a Roman governor. He wasn't so much about peace, he was about power and perks and position. But so were the religious leaders, so was the high priest of Israel, about power, perks, and position. So Pontius Pilate saw that it was but for envy that they brought him. They were not about peace. On the other hand, they tried to argue peace. On what basis? Well, they said, this guy Jesus, he is going to take away our place among the Romans. And we're going to lose our position with regard to our people. They're not going to respect us anymore because all the world is turning toward Jesus. And we got to get rid of this guy. So they wanted a certain kind of peace, but they didn't want the peace of the Prince of Peace. They didn't like it. And the most of the world doesn't like it to this very day and never will like it. In fact, there will be a major uprising against that effort, but there will also be a major, major drawing to it. But not from the Messiah's viewpoint, from a counterfeit Messiah's viewpoint. And that's where the rub comes. The rub comes because Satan is a counterfeiter. Remember he said, right there in the heavens as he was called Lucifer, the son of the morning, he said, I will be like the Most High God. I will ascend to the heights of the north, the Temple Mount. I will be like the Most High God. So from Satan's viewpoint, he was going to usher in a counterfeit peace movement in order to, shall we say, become the surrogate Prince of Peace, to, shall we say, upshot Jesus as the Prince of Peace. And before Jesus showed up on the scene for his second coming, Satan would make his bid through a counterfeit Messiah who would be seen in the world as a Prince of Peace. If we were to go to the book of Daniel, we would find that Daniel actually described such a situation. He said that through the pursuit of peace, this counterfeit Christ figure, the head of a beast empire, would cause many to be destroyed. Through the pursuit of peace, he will destroy many. Well, that doesn't sound very peaceful, does it? No, because in order to have the peace that Satan wants to bring, he must get rid of all of those who embrace the peace that Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, wants to bring. And that doesn't sound peaceful. That, of course, is why I had to write the book, When Persecution Comes, Preparing Hearts for Perilous Times, because Jesus knew exactly what was coming. He knew that that's what was going to happen, and that those who were truly following him as the Prince of Peace were going to have to face the counterfeit. We're going to have to face the counterfeit spirit, whether earlier on or right at the end of the age. And of course, we know from the scripture in several places that the end of the age began at the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So that was almost 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years from that time will end 2030. Right now, we're 5 years, 4.5 years away from the conclusion of that 2,000-year period, referred to in the Bible as 2 days. Because a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. So Daniel sees in this vision that there is going to be a counterfeit Prince of Peace, and that through the pursuit of alleged peace, he's going to destroy many. He didn't say destroy a few. He didn't say there was going to be a little upset in the world. No, it's a big deal, a very, very big deal. He's going to destroy many. How many? We're not told. We're not told. So, what we're doing here in this portion of the program, the first half of the program, is laying the biblical foundation for the discussion to follow. The headlines, whether it's from the Jerusalem Post, the World Tribune, Israel National News, whatever it is, I have a whole variety of these headlines. And they help us to understand the bigger picture that is transpiring. And then to ask ourselves critical questions. Now, if professing Christians are not willing to ask themselves critical questions based upon the scriptures, then we're not going to have true biblical discernment. But we're required to have true biblical discernment, aren't we? God wants you and I to have true biblical discernment. The natural mind cannot understand the things of the kingdom of God, for they're foolishness unto him, wrote the Apostle Paul. But, he said, we have been given the mind of Christ. In other words, it's in his word and by his spirit. So if we have the mind of Christ, we need to be able to discern somehow, at least have warning signs put up in our minds and hearts with regard to the matter of peace. So here's the question that I have for you. Before we launch further into the deep, will prosperity bring peace? Will prosperity bring peace? Well, who doesn't want prosperity? But the Bible says that prosperity turns people's hearts away from God, but adversity turns men's hearts toward God. So, if more and more peace, great peace, comes upon the world very quickly, what's going to happen with the minds and hearts of people? They're going to turn away from God. The Bible tells us that, if we know what the Bible says. If you don't know what the Bible says, you won't know that. And you'll revel in the peace until all of a sudden it goes to pieces. So, again, you're listening to Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. For now, some listening might think, Well, I'm kind of confused. Where are you going with this? What's going to be the application? What are the implications? You're going to have to stay tuned, and you need to stay tuned, because what we're about to talk about is very probative of our minds and hearts as Christians. It goes to the issue of discernment. We're going to be taking a look at the headlines now that have been spilling out in the last day or two with regard to our president's trip to the Middle East. Why is it the headline would come, Israel stunned? Israel stunned. What is it would stun Israel? That's what we need to understand. And why it would stun Israel? What is it that the President of the United States has done in the last 3 days that would stun our supposedly greatest ally in the world, certainly in the Middle East? Now, before we go further, I urge you to get a copy of my book, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. I don't think you're going to be disappointed. It's a $22 book, yours for $18. It's on our website. Actually, I think it's $20, but whatever it is on the website, saveus.org. It's a 450-page book. This is not a little child's book, but it's easy to read. It's easy to read, and you're going to want to sit down, and you're going to want to kind of drink it in. You're going to want to absorb what the pages, every chapter is followed by prophetic, troubling questions to help us, probing thoughts for prophetic times. So it helps to massage the whole message of the book into our minds and hearts. So go to the website, saveus.org, Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter, and get your copy. Call us at 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. Lots and lots of people have been getting this book. And it really has gripped their minds and their hearts. And one of the aspects about it is, what about this matter of peace? What about this matter of peace? People don't think about that. They don't really think about peace being the engine, one of the premier engines of ushering in the acceptability of the counterfeit Christ and the beast empire that will rule the world as Satan's engine to try to combat the final appearance of Jesus Christ. Don't realize that. So here's an article that came out from the World Tribune today. Trump makes deal with the Saudis, warns Iran God sits in judgment. Soon after landing and being given the purple carpet treatment by his Saudi Arabian hosts, President Donald Trump on Tuesday announced a massive Saudi investment deal, warned Iran to make peace or else, and said he would be lifting all sanctions on Syria, which is very interesting in itself, in that Syria has not been seemingly interested in peace of any kind for decades. In a statement following a signing ceremony, the White House said Saudi Arabia's $600 billion commitment to invest in the United States, building economic ties that would endure for generations to come. The United States and Saudi Arabia signed the largest defense sales agreement in history, nearly $142 billion, providing Saudi Arabia with state-of-the-art warfaring equipment and services from over a dozen U.S. defense firms. Trump said that it was his fervent wish that Saudi Arabia would soon join the Abraham Accords. What are they? He said it would be a special day in the Middle East with the whole world watching. The Abraham Accords? It's an agency for peace. But at what cost? We'll be back. This is Viewpoint.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, on the front page are two great videos. First, an interview and discussion of Chuck's book, Out of Egypt. Also, a great TV interview with Chuck regarding his book, Seduction of the Saints. Much more videos, a For Pastors Only section, and also you can view Chuck's weekly teachings, all at his website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Also on Chuck's website, listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast. Listen to the archives. Maybe you missed a program. Check it out at saveus.org. Also, there are some great resources, hospitality information, also information about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, newsletters, articles, prophecy, prayer and revival information, all at saveus.org.
The Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Not upon the throne of the United Nations, not upon the throne of the World Economic Forum, not upon the throne of the papacy, not upon the throne of a Western one world order, not upon the throne of the present czar of Russia or China, but on the throne of David. So, if we understand that the true Prince of Peace will rule and reign from the throne of David, then that might be a reason why somebody being led by Satan himself would want to have dominion over the Temple Mount, which was the throne of David. Think about that. Watch for someone who wants to rule and reign from the throne of David. Well, the Bible says that Jesus was going to rule on the throne of David. Therefore, why is it, for instance, that the Vatican has sought to have Israel give them the rights to the Temple Mount, to all the places where Jesus, as the Son of David, journeyed, ruled, ministered, including the place of the Last Supper? Why would that be? Could it be because you want to claim that you are acting in fulfillment of Scripture? You're going to rule and reign on the throne of David? But today we're not talking about the papacy. We're talking about what Donald Trump is doing in the Middle East. He's made a deal with the Saudis. He's warned Iran. He says, God sits in judgment. He said, my job is to protect the United States of America. I want to make a deal with Iran. I can make a deal with Iran. I'll be very happy if we're going to make your region and the world a safer place. He said, so he offered a much brighter future if Tehran would do a good deal. If Iran's leadership rejects this olive branch and continues to attack their neighbors, then we will have no choice but to inflict massive maximum pressure and take all action required to stop the regime from ever having a nuclear weapon. Iran will never have a nuclear weapon, he said. Okay. We don't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. So what is the device that is being used to try to change the entire focus of the Middle East? That's what we want to look at. That device is called prosperity. It's about money. Now, Donald Trump wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. I don't have any problem with the art of the deal in that sense. Some people know how to work deals and others don't. It's something that I had to deal with as a trial lawyer in order to resolve and settle cases. You have to know how to work deals. I do that constantly in having to maintain our home, for instance, and working with other people. I do deals all the time. Some of them are very small little deals. Some are bigger. But usually they have an involvement that where there's something that's good for both sides. And you have to find that place. You might call it the sweet spot, whatever it is, to where nobody's being taken advantage of, and each gets, shall we say, the fruit of the bargain. So, Mr. Trump's way of doing this is to begin by putting pressure on. Have you noticed that? No other president that I know of, in terms of trying to do something to bring about change, to bring about agreement, has used pressure to do it. Threats, pressure, whether it's economic pressure, sanctions and so on, whether it's military pressure, whatever. But the goal that Mr. Trump has is not destruction of a country. It's not destruction of their economy. It's to get them to change their mind with regard to what is going to work in the best interests of their country and in the best interests of Israel, the United States, and then by implication around the world. So when he employed the tariffs, people just went crazy. All these huge tariffs, you got to be kidding me. Everybody went up in the air. The stock market went crazy. Well, Trump had no intention. His purpose in those tariffs was not to bring about distress except on a temporary basis. Why to bring the distress? In order to be able to resolve the distress by doing that was necessary, get the nations and the leaders of the world to do that which was necessary to resolve the underlying issues that nobody had been willing to deal with because they were too frightened. So that's Donald Trump's mechanism, and I give him high kudos for it. That's how a real leader would work. A real leader that understands human nature. A real leader that understands how things really work. Didn't get educated just at Harvard in theory, but actually worked in the world where things have to work or they don't work. Theory doesn't work. So I'm giving high kudos to Donald Trump for how he has done some of these things. Whether or not, I'm not discussing what his true motivations are ultimately. That's something between him and God or to be revealed yet again. But those are the things that we need to look at right now as Christians. Why is he doing what he's doing in the Middle East? This article came from the Jerusalem Post. Despite skipping Israel, Trump signals strong support through Abraham Accords push. U.S. President Donald Trump stirred concerns over the past week over potentially dwindling support for Israel amid his Middle East tour, during which Israel was not even a stopping point. It was like he thumbed his nose at Israel. Trump's Middle East tour saw him meeting with leaders of Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Lebanon, Syria, and the Palestinian Authority, which in turn was perceived by many, an expert and analyst, as a slight towards Israel. After all, the U.S. supposed greatest ally wasn't even on the docket. It has also been focusing on Trump's desire to accept a $400 million airplane from Qatar to use as Air Force One. I've already spoken to that. From my viewpoint, a gift perverts judgment. That's what the Bible says, and I believe it. That's why in our government, you cannot receive gifts because they are part of the whole corruption mechanism of government. On the sidelines of those same discussions and deliberations, Trump called for countries in the Middle East to join the Abraham Accords. By the way, let me say something further. Let's suppose that, in fact, Mr. Trump has absolutely nothing personally to do with that jet. That's what Qatar is saying. This is just a simple business deal between two countries. It has nothing to do with Mr. Trump personally. Okay, let's suppose that that's the case. Then we bring in the next biblical admonition, and that is, avoid even the appearance of evil. Avoid even the appearance of evil. Just saying, you may not like to hear it. Maybe you have done things that were, you thought they were going to be great. You thought it was good. You thought it was innocent. You thought, no, avoid even the appearance of evil. That's the reason why I never went to lunch with another woman unless my wife or somebody else was present. Never. I never had another woman in my car, other than one of my daughters, unless somebody else was present. Why? To avoid even the appearance of evil. That's what gets people in trouble. It gets pastors in trouble. It's caused pastors to lose their entire ministries just in the last year because they got involved with the appearance of evil. Now, that's a little corollary, or just a little corollary, a little sideline there that might touch somebody's heart in life. Now, Trump said he had hoped Saudi Arabia would join the Abraham Accords, a clear arrow pointing towards Trump's priority securing Israel, said one. That same day, he said he would order the lifting of sanctions on Syria at the behest of Saudi Arabia's crown prince. Oh, okay, so he's going to do something with Saudi Arabia. He wants to get, he want to curry favor with Saudi Arabia. They got lots of money. He wants their favor. But now he's got to do something that they want him to do and lift sanctions on Syria. Why? So Trump responded, I'll be ordering the cessation of sanctions against Syria in order to give them a chance at greatness. He said that at an investment forum in Riyadh. It's their time to shine, he said. Then the following day, when Trump met with the Syrian president, he urged him to sign the Abraham Accords with Israel. Said he has a tremendous opportunity to do something historic in his country. You see how the chain of things is working. Where is it headed? That's what we want to look at in the final segment.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
The Jerusalem Post says, excluded from the new Middle East, Israel's military edge faces danger. Well, up till now, Israel, as the premier ally of the United States, a small country that links America, with Judeo-Christian foundations with Israel, has been the beneficiary of America's military largesse and support. The commitment has been for the United States to Israel that we will always give you, Israel, the priority over your neighbors in military equipment, supplies, and benefits. Now, please understand that. That's what Israel understands. That's what they know. But what do you do now? What do you do now when Donald Trump has just made commitments to Saudi Arabia, for instance, and to Turkey? Massive new arms deals signed by the United States with both Saudi Arabia and separately Turkey, among the advanced weapons that reportedly could be included in the packages of the F-35, an aircraft currently operated in the Middle East solely by the Israeli Air Force. The F-35 is no ordinary fighter jet. It's a fifth-generation multi-role combat aircraft with stealth capabilities. So imagine Turkey receiving the F-35. Yes, Turkey is a NATO member, barely, but it's also headed by Mr. Erdogan, who just a few weeks ago openly called for Israel's destruction. Would Israel feel secure knowing that a country whose leader seeks in its annihilation is now flying the world's most advanced combat jet? It's almost like giving nuclear power to Iran because you want to seduce Iran into being nice. So Israel is concerned, and rightly so. Israel is concerned. So what is Donald Trump doing? Why is he doing this? That's what we're going to talk about in this segment of the program here today as we wrap things up. When it comes to Trump's Middle East tour, says an article that came out with another article from the Jerusalem Post today, Israel has been so significant during discussions and thoroughly refutes any claim made that Israel's low on the U.S. president's list of priorities. Well, that's a viewpoint. But then it says it was a sign that sometime in the near future, Israel could enter in some very advantageous agreements with its neighbors, and their joining the Abraham Accords could be the foot in the door the country needs, that is, Israel needs, to improve its diplomatic standing in the Middle East. Okay. I'm going to respond to that. You may not like the response, but I'm going to insert some biblical thinking into this so that as you hear more about this, you may respond at least with less than a knee-jerk reaction in support of what's being done. In other words, you'll have a certain questioning about what's the motive here, where is this going, is this good, bad, or ugly, is this in line with God's word, will, and ways, is this beneficiary to Israel, is this beneficial to Christians even. So, first of all, the Abraham Accords. Well, it sounds good on its face. Take the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So you've got the descendants of Isaac and Jacob, that would be Israel, and you have the descendants of Abraham, Ishmael, the Arabs, and by implication the Muslims. And so you bring these fellows together that have always had hatred in their hearts for one another, never any sense of unity. In fact, the descendants of Ishmael were described in the Bible as a collection of wild men. I didn't make this up. That's what the Bible says. You may not like what it says, but that's what it says. What it meant, I cannot tell you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. So you, how do you bring this, these people together that have a 4,000-year history of animosity so great that the descendants of Ishmael have historically done everything they could to destroy Israel? How do you bring them together? Well, you can call it the Abram Accords, because we go back to Abraham, and of course he's at the root of it all, so maybe we could make it happen by going back to Abraham and calling it the, we're united in Abraham, the loins of Abraham. Well, it sounds good, it sounds nice, but have the underlying animosities disappeared? The answer is no. So what is it that they're trying to use, that Trump is trying to use, to unite these folks that have been at each other's throats for 4,000 years? Prosperity. So this trip that he's taken, even though he's talking about being part of the Abram Accords, is all about money. It's all about prosperity. It's all about what you can get, you see, if you'll just become part of the Abram Accords, if you'll just kind of settle down here, we can all have happy time together. Really? Is that how you're going to bring peace on earth? Goodwill toward men? Well, I cannot say that prosperity would be a hindrance. But on the other hand, we know that prosperity turns men's hearts away from God. So if it turns men's hearts away from God, what does it turn men's hearts toward? Themselves becoming God. Or God's surrogate, the one who is against him, Satan himself. So it allows Satan to come in on the wings of prosperity to say, ah, now this is our chance. We're going to sign a great agreement here, and we're going to unify that which was ununifiable, and we're going to have a great kumbaya party here, and the world is now going to experience peace on earth, goodwill toward men, because prosperity is going to reign eternal. I'm just kind of distilling it for you. Here's the problem with that. The prophet Daniel says that that's exactly how the Antichrist is going to gain his foothold in the world, and particularly in the Middle East. Through the pursuit of peace, he will destroy many. Next question. What does it mean in Isaiah chapter 28 when it talks about the leaders of Israel in their ultimate existential moment when they feel like they have no choice because they've run out of choices of trusting God and they sign an agreement? Whether you want to call it a treaty, whether you want to call it an agreement, whether you want to call it an accord, whatever you want to call it, it's the same thing. So they signed this accord, this treaty, this document, and what is it supposed to do? Well, it's supposed to bring peace. It's supposed to bring unity. But God calls it a covenant with death. Read it in Isaiah chapter 28. Then Jesus spoke about a time. He said, I came to you in the name of my Father, and you received me not. But there's another one coming to you in the name of his Father, and him you will receive. Now, who is that other one that's going to come that Israel will receive? The counterfeit Messiah. The counterfeit Messiah. And it's going to come on the wings, not of a snow-white dove, but on the aura of prosperity. So the world is going to experience this massive prosperity thinking, wow, the Messiah has come. And then there's going to be a rebuilding of the temple. Has to happen. Talked about that with Josh Hammer here on the program just yesterday. An Orthodox Jew said it's going to happen. It has to happen. It's absolutely necessary. So when that happens, as the famous Jewish philosopher, rabbi, whatever you want to call him, back in, what was it, the 13th century, Maimonides, said, whoever helps us rebuild the third temple must be the Messiah. In other words, that will be how we will know that the Messiah has come. Really? The Bible doesn't say that. But that's rabbinic Judaism. In other words, the desires are so great to bring a kind of peace, an alleged peace, a pseudo peace, a false peace, that people will be willing to accept a counterfeit. Now, you, with that in mind, you might want to get a copy of the book Antichrist, How to Identify the Coming Imposter. It's a $22 book, yours for $20, on the website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, that's 1-800-SAVE-USA, or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check and $6 for postage and handling. Oh, by the way, you know what one of the great things that you could do if you value this program? One of the great things you could do is tell your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, your pastor, whatever, about the program. And then maybe send them a text, maybe send them a letter, maybe whatever, to get the message out. You can be a very important messenger, minister, messenger, to help get the message out, to prepare the way of the Lord for history's final hour. You can do that, and you should do that. A lot of people have said, I've taken this to, 10, 12, 20 people. I really appreciate that. It's so encouraging. Some have never told a single person. Some have been listening to this program for years and have never made a single donation. I don't quite understand that, but it's true, they haven't. But has the Lord ever spoken to your heart about maybe you should get on board? When you realize that this program is so different than anything else out there, that we have no commercial support whatsoever, we don't have any large congregation that is writing big checks to get us on stations all across the world. We don't have that. It is truly a faith-based ministry where not a single person, including yours truly, receives a salary or any other funds from this ministry and your donations. It all goes exclusively out to get the message out. Would you like to get on board? Why don't you consider going before the Lord, ask what he would have you to give. Now, if he speaks to you, don't delay. Don't delay. Thanks for joining us here. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for all of us that we might understand and hear the voice of the Lord in these troubled times. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.